The following talk was given by Steve Hagen at Dharma Field Meditation and Learning Center in Minneapolis on March 18, 2018. This talk may not be played or reproduced for profit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all today. A few weeks ago, on the Wednesday night meetings that we have, Jed played a recording of Suzuki Roshi giving a talk, and then he handed out these transcripts of it as well. And then the following week, Linda asked if I would say something about a little section in there in the piece that Suzuki Roshi had given. And I did, but I felt a couple of things. I didn't feel like I gave it the best, bring it out as well as I could have at that time. But also, this is a pretty important thing to understand in our practice, what Suzuki Roshi talks about here, one pure practice, or Ichin Yozan Mai. So I felt like, well, maybe this is something I should say to the group on a Sunday like this. So. And that's what I'm going to do today then. But I should say that, well, almost anything I say about this is not quite correct. But like I was going to say, this is very difficult to understand, but it's not exactly difficult to understand, really. It's difficult to understand with your intellect. It's difficult to understand with your conceptualizing mind. But bodily, just living in the world, you can understand this. And it's your conceptualizing mind that you're going to need to... Don't give it so much weight or depend on it so much. When we listen to this passage here by Suzuki Roshi, because that will kind of get you in trouble. But because it'll... There's something in it that will kind of seem contradictory, perhaps, though it's not. But it is a way to, what he's really talking about is fully understanding this practice that we do, which ultimately then is Shikan Taza. But, and I'll be saying more about this as we go, if this is a new term to you. So this is really what he's getting at. How do we practice? What is practice, anyway? And he's not even talking about this particular practice, though he is. But he's talking about living your life. You know, how do you live your life? And living your life out of awareness. Completely and wholeheartedly, totally. This is really what he's talking about. So this Ichin-yo Zanmai, this is translated roughly as one pure practice. And this is kind of where Suzuki Roshi picks it up. And this is what Linda then had asked about. So Suzuki Roshi, let me just read this through first anyway. I don't know, should I read it? I slightly edited it. But maybe I should just read it the way he gave it to us. Which took about 5 minutes for him to say, I'm quite sure. for those of us who were there listening to this. Okay, but this is what he said. I'll give you the literal first, or the what he actually said. And then afterward, when I go through it, I'll probably just slightly edit it into, you know, more standard English anyway. But this is what he said. Usually, Ichin-yo Zanmai is understood to be completely involved in some kind of practice. And here they have it in quotes, to be completely involved in some kind of practice. It is so, but at the same time, even though we are involved in, deeply involved in a kind of practice, at the same time, we should have complete freedom from it. Do you understand? And he laughs. He says, usually, you know, when you become very much attached to something, you have no freedom from it. But for us, because of complete freedom, for us, it is possible to be involved in or to be attached to something completely. That is shikantaza, true shikantaza. So shikantaza is not a matter of whether you practice zazen or not, even. Even though you do not practice our way in cross-legged sitting or in cross-legged position, actually, if you have this point, you are always practicing zazen. Even when you are sleeping, even you are sleeping, you are practicing, actually practicing zazen. And he goes on to, this is beyond where I had commented before, but Linda had asked about, just kind of follows through the rest of this here. Suzuki Roshi went on to say that Dogen Zenji said, quote, "Sickness does not just destroy a person, but if you do not practice Zazen, that no practice will destroy a person," unquote. Do you understand? And then he laughs again. He keeps laughing when he asks if we understand, because he probably knows that we probably don't really understand. Anyway, sickness, he goes on, sickness does not destroy a person. So do you understand? Sickness does not destroy a person. You may say, quote, this is in quotes again, "Today I cannot practice Zazen because I have a headache. But if I practice Zazen, I shall die, so I cannot practice Zazen." But Dogen Zenji said, "Sickness does not destroy a person, but no practice will destroy him." Okay. So that's what Suzuki Roshi had to say. And now let's go through this again a little more slowly here. So there's one pure practice, Ichin Yozan Mai. He says, usually Ichin Yozan Mai is understood as, and here in quotes, "to be completely involved in some kind of practice." Okay, there's Ichin Yozan Mai. It's understood as to be completely involved in some kind of practice. This is so, but at the same time, even though we are deeply involved in a kind of practice, we should have complete freedom from it. Do you understand? Usually, when you become very attached to something, you have no freedom from it. But for us, because of complete freedom, it is possible to be involved in or to be attached to. Well, I might want to take that out, but it's possible to be involved in something completely. That is shikantaza, true shikantaza. So shikantaza is not a matter of whether you practice zazen or not. Even though you do not practice our way in cross-legged position, actually, if you understand this point, you are always practicing zazen. Even when you are sleeping, you are actually practicing zazen. If you understand this point. Okay. So, Ichin Yozan Mai, usually it's understood as to be completely involved in some kind of practice. He says, and this is so, but at the same time, even though we're involved, you know, deeply involved in a kind of practice, we should have complete freedom from it. You're talking about, really it could be, we're talking about any kind of practice at all. But of course, this, we're talking Zen practice here, in this practice in particular of shikantaza, which is a point that he brings out here. So this is about being completely involved in the practice. And yet at the same time, you know, to be, you know, free from it. How do we do this? Can we practice in this way? Because usually, as he says, usually when you become very attached to something, you have no freedom from it. So if we're completely involved with it, we become attached to it, you know, and then we don't have any freedom from it. We're caught by the very practice itself. We might even identify ourselves as a particular kind of practitioner. Or we can speak of this practice that we do in a very knowing way, in a way that makes it sound superior perhaps to other practices or something like this. But all the while, we're just talking. And we're stating something, and we're trying to claim something, and we're making something. Thinking that, you know, well, I love this practice, and I'm deeply involved in this practice, and I'm practicing it now, am I? Of course, if we're thinking about Zazen, we're probably thinking, unless we really understand this point, we think we're talking about sitting in a cross-legged position, perhaps. Very often, that's what we have in mind. And that is what Zazen is. And that's it. That's what Zazen is. Period. But what Suzuki Roshi is pointing out, never mind your ideas about Zazen and cross-legged sitting position, all that. Just never mind all of that. He's talking about actual practice and being this actual practice, living out of this actual practice. Just not even out of it, just living it. But being completely free from it, meaning free from any kind of ideas and notions and beliefs and jargon or whatever else that you might have or offer about this practice. You really don't need to say much about it. Really, you don't need to say anything about it at all. At least for you, you need to understand this. This is all. And then live it. If you truly understand it, you will live it. But sometimes maybe we need to talk, as he's doing here. Or as my teacher, Katagiri Roshi, says, you know, you have to say something. If you don't say anything, then nobody will understand. So we have to say something, and now I'm saying something based on what Suzuki Roshi has said here. So sometimes talking is needed, but often, you know, when we take up Zazen, we're in, maybe at the beginning we're excited about it, we're enthused about it, we identify, yes, I'm a Zen practitioner and all that, and we're doing this, and it's really the cross-legged position. Yeah, I do that every day. And then we think we're doing this. And to some extent, I suppose we could say that, yeah, we are. But are we really doing this? And do we really understand what this is? We're in kind of a stage where maybe we're just still just excited about this. We have different ideas about what this is or what this will bring me or something like this. This will bring me to enlightenment. Or maybe we think just because we're sitting in this way and we can be very still that we are in sort of enlightenment. Or we're expressing that in some way. Yeah, maybe not. Outwardly, it might look just like someone sitting next to you who's actually carrying out the practice. Outwardly, looks pretty much the same. It all has to do with your mind and with your thinking and with any kind of ideas that you're holding. Any kind of ideas that you're holding at all, about anything. If that is what is going on, then you don't understand this practice. And you're not free from it. You are bound by it in various ways. And you feel like it has to be carried out in certain ways. Or that there's ways that you need to instruct others about how to carry it out and because it has to be carried out properly. Because you might be, at that point, you might be just dealing with outward things. But it doesn't mean necessarily that you know what you're doing there in regards to this practice in terms of you actually carrying it out and living it and practicing it. This is Ichin Yozan Mai. You know, this one pure practice. Pure. Meaning that it isn't tainted by other things. Well, by your thought, mainly, which is what really taints this. And again, I'm not just talking about, and Suzuki Roshi here isn't just talking about Zazen, about your daily activity, about anything at all, really. Dogen says that, you know, when you encounter a practice, then you completely take up that practice and carry out that practice. You become that practice. It isn't even that you become that practice, it's just this carrying it out. What this is about is living your life fully and completely, burning it up completely in each moment. And without any particular ideas or notions or beliefs or images that you might have of what the practice is or of yourself doing it. Completely forgetting that, not carrying it in any way whatsoever in your mind, and yet carrying out the practice. This is Ichin-yokama, that the Suzuki Roshi here is talking about. So he says, but we, at the same time, we, even though we're completely, I better back it up here. He says, this is about to be completely involved, deeply involved in a kind of practice. But at the same time, we should have complete freedom from it. When you become very attached to something, you have no freedom from it. And that's usually the way that we will take up things. We will take up things as, here's myself here, my ego, my separate self here. It takes on a certain kind of identity, a Zen student or a Zen practitioner or something like this. You're kind of holding this. And then you take up this practice because as a Zen student or a Zen practitioner, this is what you do. And in somewhere there's this residue. You might not be consciously, deliberately, you know, thinking about this necessarily, but it's there in kind of the makeup of your mind in this practice. That this is what I am and this is what I do and this is what I am doing now. This is not like Yako-san. I give you this story very often, but it's such a wonderful pointing, I think. Yako-san Egan, sitting in meditation, and his teacher came along and said, what are you doing? And he says, I'm not doing anything. This is Ichin-yo-zamai. This is Shikantaza. Not doing anything. So you're sitting idly. Teacher testing him there. If I were sitting idly, I'd be doing something. So Yako-san understands this point. His teacher even pressed him further. I won't take you further into that koan, but just checking out. Make sure that Yako-san, do you really understand this? But this is our practice, carried out completely, burning itself up completely in each moment. And it doesn't have to be sitting in the cross-legged position. You know, we talk about Shikantaza. I remember Katagiri Roshi used to talk about Shikan. I remember he used this image of Shikan basketball. So I feel like you're playing basketball or something, and you're just completely playing the basketball. There's no separation between you and the basketball and the hoop and the floor and the other players. You're just completely playing this. We have this expression, what is it, in the zone or something like that. And maybe that's pointing to the same sort of thing here. But that's what this practice is to live out your life like this. And it doesn't mean to do this without flaw and perfectly every moment of the day. I don't know if anybody could do that. But that is what our practice is. And so it does mean, then, to catch yourself. When you start to abstract the practice by talking about it, by thinking about it, by expressing it to others, or identifying with it and maybe taking some kind of pride, or maybe some kind of shame or embarrassment or something, because maybe you feel like, oh, I can't, I'm not very good at this, and I don't. All of that, just drop it. None of that is an expression of reality, which itself is burning up in each moment, moment by moment. And live out of that, completely step into that and live out of that. And forget holding so tightly to the ideas and notions you might have about what this is or what you're going to get from it or how well you're doing, any of these kinds of things. And somebody asked my teacher about this in regards to his teaching and his practice. He says, that's not my business. His business is just completely to, as a teacher, just completely take that up and do that in that moment. If that's what's occurring, then just completely burn up in that moment. Yourself, drop the ego and all of that. There's complete peace in this, and a kind of a quiet joy and steadiness to it. The moment you drag in some image of what you're doing, or yourself, or doing this, or any of these things, that is not this Ichin-Yo-San Mai, this one pure practice. It's not pure. You brought in all kinds of other little things here. So that's what this is about. This is also not about, you know, judging yourself, well, I can't do this, or this is just too much, or oh, well, I'm... That's, again, that's the thing, stop that. Just stop doing that. You don't need to do that. You don't need to gauge yourself. That's one of the things that's so characteristic of Dogen's teaching. We don't gauge anything here. There aren't any graduated steps that you march through, you know, hoops that you jump through or whatever to get from this point to the next point. He talks about, you know, if you want to practice suchness, if you want to live this suchness, and take it up, practice it without delay. If you want to attain suchness, then practice it without delay. And speaking of practice in this way, is just live it right now, in this moment. This is Dogen's way. And it's the way of our school here in Soto Zen. This is a subtle teaching, this point. That's why I also felt the other night that I didn't really quite get this across. I don't know how well I'm doing this morning. Maybe I'm not getting this across either. But it is something that it takes some time to understand. And do not use this teaching in any way to judge yourself with it. Because this is pointing to something rather remarkable here. Maybe almost even seeming impossible to do, to carry out. But this isn't about you measuring, you know, and how well you're doing and any of this kind of stuff. This is just pointing out, this is what it is. Now take it up. Never mind how well you're doing, moment after moment. Just see if you can bring yourself back to this. And what is that? Well, start dropping off all those other things that you're normally clutching and hanging on to and using to judge yourself, to judge others. All of this. And how well am I doing? You'll never know how well you're doing. You don't need to know. You're doing fine. Just live it completely now. Not out of ideas that you might have about it. So that's what this is. So is this, it's the kind of practice, he says, but we should have complete freedom from it. Do you understand? Yeah, and then he laughs. But he says, usually when you become attached to something, you have no freedom from it. But for us, he says, because of complete freedom, by the way, that's nirvana. It's another word, freedom. I'm talking about freedom. The mind is free, completely free, he says. But because of complete freedom, it is possible to be involved in. And here it says, or attached to. I'm not too sure about attached. That's a more complicated situation. But maybe so. But that would involve a lot more discussion, I think. But certainly it is possible for us to be involved in, completely involved in, something, or to be involved in something completely, as he puts it here. And then he says, that is shikantaza. True shikantaza. Shikan, that is, sitting in complete awareness and tranquility. Ta, hitting just the exact spot, like on the top of the head in, what is it, Aikido or something like that, I don't know, one of those Japanese martial arts. But it's just a particular spot, just so, ta. Not one atom off. So awareness and tranquility, boom. And then za means sit, shikantaza. And, so that's our practice. And it is carried out just like this. And never mind about the judgment or anything else. Well, can I do that? Am I doing that? Well, as you carry on like that, of course, no, you're not, actually. Stop measuring. You don't need to know. Just start living your life. And here's another thing. To the extent that you are not living your life like this, you're not actually living it. You're completely wrapped up in an abstract construct of it. Perhaps 85-90% of our life goes by, and we're all caught up in something that's utterly artificial and false and not true. And all of our fears, our worries, our longings and loathings and all of that are all caught up in that. In the meantime, life is being lived, but where are you? You're completely caught up in your vain imaginings and all sorts of things. So this practice, this way, and it's not even to condemn that or anything else, but that's just to see this for what it is. That's how easily we normally will carry out our life. And unless we learn to catch ourselves to stop and to observe this, and without judgment, right, which is just more grasping and all the rest, just see if you can stop that now. Bring your attention back to what is actually being lived in this moment. So this is that one pure practice. Yeah. So, and then he goes on to say that the shikantaza, even though it has the word za at the end there, which means to sit, Dogen speaks of this in Fukan Zazenge. This practice has nothing to do with sitting or lying down, he says. What? Even the word sitting, even in what we're talking about, zazen and sanzen and shikantaza, all that. Za means to sit in Japanese. But Suzuki Roshi, here he goes on, he says, so shikantaza, it's not a matter of whether or not you practice zazen. Zen is meditation, za is to sit, zazen is sitting meditation. Okay? But he says, it's not a matter of whether you practice zazen or not. He says, even though you do not practice in our cross-legged position, actually, if you understand this point that we've been looking at here, you are always practicing zazen. If you understand this, it has nothing to do with sitting or lying down, as Dogen says it elsewhere. But if you understand this point, if you're living out of this point, no matter what you're doing, taking care of your daily life, going about your business or to work or to interact with other people or doing the dishes or going shopping or whatever it is that you have to do and that you do, you can learn to live completely out of this without all of the side distractions and the obsessions and the fears and the worries and the things that carry us away. By the way, this is not to tune any of that out. I mean, what's truly going on around you. But it is about noticing to the extent that you get lost in this and become obsessed with this or whatever else. That part you don't need. But in living out of this, it is living out of awareness. So we are tuned in to the world. This is not a trance kind of practice where you're kind of blanking all that out. No, this is to be completely open to it. And living out of that and responding to it. But that's what our practice is. And as to, well, how well can you do that? That's not our practice, to sit there and gauge as to how well you're doing. Our practice is just to take it up and do it. You'll be doing well enough. And by, maybe you can, you know, find your way into far more subtle aspects of this as you go. But it never needs to be your business as to how well you're doing, or certainly not about, well, how well are others doing. That's not your business either. So just bring yourself back to this. See if you can live out of this without judgment of yourself or of anyone else. But that's what this way is. We take the time each day, maybe, just to kind of simplify our life and the activity of our life. We do a formal practice like this here that we do. This is very helpful. And to do that on a regular basis, very helpful for you. But then just carry on. Just take care of this. Dogen speaks of walking in the mist. It's like walking in the mist. You're not thinking about that, but you're getting wet, and you're just walking in the mist. You don't really notice that you're getting wet, but after a while, you might realize actually you're kind of soaked. You've been walking in the mist. But never mind that. Just keep walking in the mist. And so our practice is kind of like that. And, so stop the grasping of it or the wishing you were there, wishing you were where. You're here now. And this is where you're always here. So take care of this. That's what this practice is. So don't leave here. Just stay. Stick around. Pay attention. So anyway, but Shikantaza said it's not a matter of whether you practice as in, even though you do not do it, practice our way in the cross-legged position. If you understand this point, then you are always practicing Zazen. Even when you are sleeping, you are practicing Zazen. So even when you are sleeping. And then he goes on to say here, he said, Dogen Zenji is a great teacher in our school, in our lineage. He, 13th century Zen monk, Japanese Zen monk, who brought Soto Zen from China to Japan. But he says, Dogen Zenji said, sickness does not destroy a person. But if you do not practice Zazen, that no practice will destroy a person. So he's saying this now right after what he said. So in other words, just understand this. He's not saying, well, then go ahead and do Zazen. You should do Zazen. There's no way. This isn't about you should do that. Just understand what this is. This is always about, here's life. Here's reality. Here's the world. It's all taking place right here. And no matter what is happening here, this is what's happening here. And either you're living out of awareness of this and responding to this in some kind of sane way that isn't just caught up in your own mind, your own thinking, your own personal, worries and fears and excitement and all of this. But you're just living this, completely. Here it is. That's what our way is. Just come back to this, come back to this, and come back to this. So he says, sickness does not destroy a person. But if you do not practice, in other words, if you don't come back to this, if you don't start to learn to do this moment by moment, just come back to this and come back. Again, doesn't mean not to ignore and to tune out other things. That's not what this practice is. So don't get the idea. So sometimes you might think, well, I'll come back to this. No, I'm going to sit here. And I'm tuning everything else out. This is an idea that people have. But we don't know that. We sit with the eyes open. People are surprised by that. You sit with your eyes open? Yes, yeah, because we don't shut things out. But we don't fixate on anything in particular either. We don't plug up the ears or anything else. Nasal passages, we're Everything is open. And but we don't. We get used to maybe not. Basically, really, just running off in our own mind. But just staying here, present with it. So he says that sickness then doesn't destroy a person, but this no practice, he says, this will destroy a person, he said. Then he says, do you understand? So just understand this. If you don't deliberately live your life here, present with what's going on, do you understand what that is? That in a sense, you're destroying your life in the sense that you're not living it. And completely caught up in all the crazy, wild things in our minds that we get caught up in. And this reaches into the culture and into the human world. So here we are, you know, so many of us just running around kind of crazy. We're now humankind. We've brought ourselves to the brink of what? We don't know, but it seems like this can't go on in so many ways. You know, with the environment and politically, you know, in all kinds of ways. And it's because the mass of us live completely insane lives, completely caught up in the craziness of our own minds. Never even attempting to see if we can learn to settle down here and to be present and awake with what is actually taking place. And to recognize when we go spinning off in our own mind with some, you know, bit of insanity. And the insanity I'm speaking of is being out of touch with what is actually going on and what is actually taking place. So another way to look at all of this that we've been speaking of, we're talking about utter, total sanity here. To practice that, to live out of that. So sickness doesn't destroy, but there's no practice. If you don't, this will destroy a person, he's saying. And then he says, you may say, today I cannot practice because I have a headache. Yeah. Has this ever been you? Well, today I can't go to meditation because I have a headache. Or maybe it's because I just don't want to get out of bed. You know. But it could be any number of things. I just don't want to do that. Yeah, maybe this isn't, might not strike you as being the most fun thing to do necessarily. But that's when you're still caught up in one thing or another. It might strike you in that way. But if you just realize the heartache and the sickness of living like that, and if you're getting a little tired of that, then maybe you can begin to notice that really what you need to do is just to stop and to settle down and to be present and to see if you can live out of that. Because really that's all this is that we practice in the end. So today I can't practice, you know, because I have a headache. If I practice, I shall die. If I practice Zazen, I shall die. So I cannot practice Zazen. So, and he's bringing this up because this is a very common way to react. I had reactions like this when I first took this up. When I first started to realize this was actually kind of important to me, and I wanted to make this effort of practicing every day. I saw my teacher. He practiced every day, every morning, every evening. There he was. And so I started to do that. And at first, sometimes I could do it without too much trouble for a while. Here we offer the practice periods here to give you a chance to plug into this. Just see if you can do this now, 85 days. But, you know, so anyway, but I saw my teacher doing, because he just lived this. He lived it. Every day, was a practice period or not, didn't he? So I started doing that, and it was a little difficult at first, but then suddenly, and I mean suddenly, boom, like that, everything changed. A few years into it, when I'd been making that effort. And after that, it was never a struggle after that again. Time for Zazen, then sit Zazen. And if something comes up, you know, I'm sick, I'm out of town, something like this, I can't. Well, okay, then I can't. Because I'm not attached to the practice, or if you're not attached, as he was saying here, if you're not attached to the practice, you don't have to make a big deal out of it or think, maybe I can put in some other time somewhere else or things like this. Look at the mind that is thinking like that. That's a grasping mind, a wanting mind, an obsessed mind, a nervous mind. It's a mind that has ideas about Zazen. And what we can learn here is to be free. That's not freedom from this practice. It's not freedom from Zazen. You're caught by that. You're trapped by that. And as a consequence of that, then you're not actually, you don't quite yet understand this point that Suzuki Roshi is, you know, pointing to here. And we're still caught by that. And as long as we still have a mind like that, we're thinking about using, we do this practice because we're using it because we want to attain something from it, get something else. And that's a very ordinary way to understand just about everything. But not this practice. This practice is about seeing that, seeing the kind of mind that thinks that way, that operates that way. And look at how miserable and confused it is. So this is about just see if you can practice without being caught by that. That's all. And at some point, if you actually see this, you see through this, then it all drops away. If you really see this, you would not live some other way. You would live out of this practice. And that's this one pure practice. And this is actually, at that point, maybe it's time to take up the robes. And by that, I mean, Norm and I and others here, we have taken on the robes. But again, we don't have to be always wearing them or anything like that. So I rarely wear my robes now. Because I'm not particularly attached to wearing them, but at the same time, I'm not attached to not wearing them. But I don't know whether to wear them or not. I don't know. For a long time, we weren't even wearing these little rakusus here. But then some of the people who've been, they've been lay ordained, so they hate the rocks, who like this, they were wearing theirs. So Norm and I, we started wearing ours again now. You understand what I'm trying to say here? It's almost as if it doesn't matter. You wear the robes, you don't wear the robes, yeah. Because I can tell you, I don't know whether to wear, I don't know if it's good for you if Norm and I wear our robes. Or if we don't, I really don't know. Sometimes we have for a while, sometimes not. So it's almost like this doesn't matter. That's another way of looking at everything I've been saying here this morning. It's almost like when you take up this practice, it's almost like none of this matters. You practice, you don't practice, you get out of bed or you don't, or you know, whatever else it is that you do in your, with your life. But it's almost like that, except for one thing. That actually what we're talking about here is life and death. That's how urgent this is. That's how serious this is. But if we attach to any bit of it, oh, you should do that, or you don't need to, why are you doing that? Now you're pulled around. And people might ask you, why do you do it? Shouldn't you do that? And, you know, people, you know, talking to me all the time about this. Well, you should do this, or you shouldn't do that. Why don't you do this, or why don't you do that? And I don't know. Yeah, okay, that sounds like a good idea. No, I don't know. Yeah. And then sometimes people will get upset because I didn't do it the way they suggested, or they don't quite understand it, and they think maybe I'm doing something really bad or wrong here. And maybe so. I don't know. I'm trying to do my best. But what is it I'm trying to do? I want to help you wake up. This is what I'm trying to do here. This is not my job. This is my life. This is what I want to live out of. But as to how to do it specifically, this or that or the next, I don't really know. So I try to keep my eyes open and see. And then sometimes maybe something will work for a while over here. And then, okay, maybe not. So it could be something. But it is not wishy-washy. It is not anything goes. I'm constantly tuned into this and looking at this and reflecting on myself and what I'm doing. All of this. I'm not obsessing on it. I'm not worried about it. I'm not frightened about it. But I'm paying attention as best I can. And I don't always do that so well either. But that's what this practice is. And I'm trying to help you to get some glimmer as to what it is. And I would encourage you to see if you can do this. Take it up, and even in some small way, on a regular basis. See if you can bring yourself to this. Every once in a while. Maybe on a weekly basis. Several times. And what is this again? To watch your own mind. Don't judge. Don't grip. Don't say you should or you shouldn't. Just see what it is you're actually doing. What's actually taking place here. So he says, so we might say that, you know, today I can't practice because I have a headache or whatever. But then he just reminds us, Dogen Zenji said that sickness does not destroy a person. But no practice destroys a person. And again, this isn't then the idea that so then I should practice so that I won't be destroyed or something like that. No. Don't say anything about it at all. It isn't like, well, then this practice is a good practice, this is something good, and we should... Don't talk this way. Don't think this way. I don't think this is a good practice or a bad practice. I don't think about it at all, really. Certainly not in those terms. It's just a matter of take this up, do this. You can see what it is. And what it is, rather than talking about in terms of good and bad, which is dualistic and not particularly helpful, this is wholesome. This is sanity. This is freedom of mind. When we can learn to live out of this one pure practice, then even though the world around us is burning down and people are going crazy and the environment is collapsing and all the rest of it, the wars are breaking out, you'll be able to live this. Otherwise, if you're going to try to reach for something here that's going to sustain you and comfort you or whatever, well, a lot of luck with that. It won't work. Nothing will support you. But you can learn to live directly your life in such a way that you do not need that. The Buddha spoke of this as you won't be other dependent, which doesn't mean that you'll be dependent then on your little self here. You can depend on the whole, on totality, on awakeness, on prajna, wisdom. Okay. Well, I guess that's all I'm going to say on that point this time. But so I guess I didn't get all that out of there before, Linda. So, but I'm glad you called our attention to that passage. It was very good. There was a lot there. Yeah, and there's still more that could be said. But any questions about anything I said this morning? We have a few minutes here yet.
Yeah, question.
Yeah.
So we talk about, as you're speaking about this practice, Qigong, Fasan, Zazen, this, it appears that it's something.
That's always our desire to hold, to grip, to get hold of something. And it's uncomfortable for us to not do that, or to think, it's even, at first it's difficult for us to take it seriously. Are you saying we don't grasp anything. Yeah, yeah. That's, you really don't need to do that. But then, well, you can't do that. You have to. Yeah, I understand. I felt all of these things myself at one time. But I can tell you now, you can. You're always being sustained, so to speak, even though there's no particular thing that's you that's being sustained. But here we are. You're not bringing this about. We're the species that feels like we have to get in there and develop the land to improve it. Land improvement, all this kind of stuff. That the other wild creatures, you know, well, they couldn't, without our help, they wouldn't be able to live. We talk, we think, we have ideas like this. Yeah, well, a lot of times that might be the case, is because we've messed up their habitat so badly that, yeah, they can't live there now, but so we got to go in there and manage it for them. We think we need to grip everything and control everything. We are crazy. We don't even understand that without anybody controlling anything, we evolved on this planet. The problem that we have, unlike most other creatures, is that we have these incredible, wonderful human minds. And I mean that. These are incredible and wonderful things, these human minds that we have. And opposable thumbs and stereoscopic vision, all that kind of stuff that these minds of ours can you know, kind of control in some way. So we could have a great impact on the world and on the environment and everything else. The problem that we have, though, is that we're crazy. We are insane. We are not paying attention to what we're doing and what it is that we're obsessed with and what it is that we think we need to do. We need to do very little. The reason that this world produced this lush living planet, you know, the biosphere that we are now destroying, that came about because that came out of the whole of everything working together and creates this, including us. This is the Buddha's great insight. I'm giving an expanded version of it now because he talked about it more in personal terms. But we collectively then think that we have to go in here and make these improvements. And we are exacerbating the problem. And we now, single-handedly, just, you know, unlike the other great die-offs that have occurred in the history, the life's history of the Earth, the geologic history of the Earth, we're in the sixth one now, but we're bringing it on. The other one, nature produced, but then at the same time, it didn't wipe out everything, and then new things, you know, it's kind of like hoeing the garden or whatever, but then new things, you know, came forth. But it's one thing to have all of this occurring through the workings of the whole. But it's another thing, because of our own, you know, lusting desire after this and to shape this in a way that's pleasing to me and all that, but we're tuned out to everything else that's being affected by that. And all that stuff is going to come around and wipe out what you did. We're not paying any attention to that. And that's why we are, in a kind of a global way, in the predicament that we're in today. But very few people understand this. And yet this is something the Buddha identified 2,500 years ago. How he saw that and in the way that he did, and that little bit of teaching that is involved with that, is just absolutely, it just amazes me that he had that much insight and how deep it goes. And there's a teaching in there I wish I could wake everyone up to. So we will come to our senses and stop this before we just go ahead and completely destroy ourselves. But we're probably just going to do what we're going to do. So, but even so, I'm okay. You're okay too. We're all okay. Still doesn't mean like we should act out of our insanity in the way that we do.
Even acting out of our
sanity
is part of the whole.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. See, no, it's not confusing at all. It's always part of the whole, no matter what. But the way that we act in a way that kind of defies the whole. And we're so very powerful There's no animal, other animal on this earth ever, through the history of the earth, that has the kind of power that we... Look at what we've done to the planet with the highways and the airplanes and the spaceships and atomic bombs and cities. And no other creature has burst out onto this planet in the way that we have in the last, 2,000 years now. And we don't know how to handle our minds. We have these incredible, powerful minds, and we don't know how to handle it. But what this passage here, in this one pure way that Suzuki Roshi is speaking of here, this is pointing directly to, if you want to practice, in a way that's commensurate with reality, take this up. Okay. Well, we have gone over the hour, so I probably better end it, but I hope there wasn't anything else. But thank you.
Thank you for listening. To hear more talks on Buddhism, Zen, and related topics, visit dharmafield.org.